Happy Monday. You are listening to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and we are here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio here in Marion, Ohio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071fmradio. You also can download free app on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. You have another option to call in and be a part of the show by calling 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or would like to make any comments. Okay, now let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 240-223-2215. Let me give you that number again, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Last but not least is Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Location is LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And thank you for all of you who listen faithfully to A Voice of a People. And thank you for any newcomers today. Excuse me. Now, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. It's titled, Real Gentleness. Real gentleness in a person is a great power. The power that sees, the power that understands, but never interferes. Like the branch of the tree, just touching the earth, but never taking root in it. Never to take root in someone else's mind, but to help. Now that's gentleness. And we will probably be referring back to that thought for today throughout our conversation. My guest today is Tim Jones. How are you today, Tim?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing well.
Good. I'm so glad to see you today and that you could come and be a part of the show. Now, Tim is a consultant and a counselor. I guess that's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
A mentor, definitely.
Yeah,
yes.
Better words for it.
Yes. Consultant, counselor, mentor, a man of God, I consider, and uses God's words in a unique way, has framed his future and helping to frame the future of others.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, that sums it up. You did a great job, great intro, way better than what I could have done. But that sums it up.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Helping people see themselves. To become more than what they are, you know. So, sums it up.
Hello, caller. May I help you? Hello?
Hi, my name is Sam with BAS Insurance. How are you doing today?
You'll have to call back later.
During regular office hours. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, just helping people see what they become. Because I think one thing I've been blessed with, honestly, is to see the potential in others, like the good part of others. It doesn't necessarily matter what may have happened or what your past looked like.
Right.
You know, I'd be a fool to say people can't change. That's true judgment in my eyes. But to see what they can become. Now, that's great. Now, it's going to be a journey, and you got to put in the work.
Absolutely.
But potential is one thing, and that's all somebody needs, just a push in the right direction.
And I'm so glad to hear you say that. There are so many young men and young women that need that push, and they may not all be in your eyesight or, you know, your profession where you work, the building structure itself, you know, and how do you reach out to other people that may not be in that structure?
Honestly, I think they tend to find to gravitate towards you.
Really?
A lot of people gravitate towards me. I think it's just the way I carry myself. Maybe it's the energy I may give off. I try to stay as positive as possible. You know, my dominant thoughts are positive, you know. So we got two ways the mind can work. Either your dominant thought process is going to be negative or it's going to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not saying I don't have any negative thoughts, but I kill them. You know, I kill the negative thoughts. I do away with them. But when people see you progressing and they see you moving forward, and especially when they know where you come from,
right?
That's different. And a lot of people, they tend to reach out, and they respect my morals, they respect my codes, and they respect the way I live. And so I think I make it easy for people to reach out.
Approach you,
to
yeah.
Approach me, and
yeah.
Those type of things, yeah. So, yeah, that's like, just be me.
That energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gentleness. I mean, yeah. That was part of the
thoughts
for today, and because there's power in that. We just read that, and mm-hmm. I don't know, God picks these things for me every time, you know, and it's something throughout the show we usually talk about. They just pop up. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, but that gentleness and the power that it possesses. And like you said, that thought process, mm-hmm. you can think about something and draw it to you, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have working on a project. I can't really put it out there, but I've been talking to this guy about a building since 2017. And it was just a common interest that I had, a common liking. And I remember telling my Uncle Clinton, may he rest in heaven. I remember telling him, said, I'm going to get this building. And I remember he walked around the yard with me, him and my mom. We walked around that building and we were just checking it out. And it was just a great thing. But it went from having that conversation with him to having a conversation with the owner of the building, but also me and the owner just building a relationship, you know, and finding commonality and building a harmonious relationship. Finding commonality and all those things. And then finally one day I went up to him and I said, hey, you know, I'm still interested in this building. You want to sell it? And he's getting a little bit older and he's like, I'll consider that. But it led to more and more conversations.
Oh, hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we close on a deal with it.
Well, that's good. I wish you well with that. Yeah. Absolutely. And they have a lot of buildings downtown, too, mm-hmm. you know, that they could help other people mm-hmm. to be occupants or use for businesses and things like that. Because they are trying to build up the downtown mm-hmm. area, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And I understand that great responsibility comes with owning these, any type of business or a home, you know, to own it yourself. But I also wanted to talk to you about today, Tim. I didn't really know until I got here. But what do you think about when people say lawlessness of America, and where are we headed with that?
I always tell people too much freedom is a bad thing. Just put that in mind. See, America, we're going for this theme, you know, land of the free, 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 free.
True.
But if you don't have no rules or anything set in place, then, you know, it could be wild. It could be wild. You know, I think I remember Kanye West and Jay-Z, one of my favorite songs, No Church in the Wild. And really think about if there's no rules set up, you just run free and do what you want. You know what I mean? So
right.
Lawlessness is it's exactly what it says. Lawlessness. You're just running, in a sense, too free. There's no rules that you have to live by. There's no standards. There's no code. And when you have that, you have chaos. Lawlessness is chaos.
Is that what we have now?
A little bit. But I think it's perspective, too, you know, because sometimes God has to get our attention, right? I kind of tell people, you know, we see things that happens, and it may seem tragic to one person, right? But that tragedy could be that one thing that turned that other person's life around. Or I may have seen something that happened to somebody that seemed tragic to me, but that could have been a tragedy that I've seen that made me say, you know what, I'm going to quit doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to take my life more seriously and not take things for granted, this, that, and the third, so we can learn from that.
Right.
So God uses these things and he blesses us with it. Like, we have to understand, good things do happen. I mean, bad things do happen.
Yes, it
to
does.
People, but nobody's getting away with nothing. I promise you. I promise you.
So don't be misled, huh?
Yeah,
don't be fooled.
Yeah, you're not getting away with nothing. I promise you.
Wow. And I just, you know, the lawlessness, and people are saying, well, what are they what is there to gain for people? And I understand that people are upset. And how do you look at brokenness? What do you have? What do you say about people being broken, and how can they deal with that brokenness?
I deal with people that's broken all the time,
mm-hmm.
especially in my line of work, you know. But I can identify with being broken because I've been to the bottom. I felt like I had nothing left. But I was telling a guy today, and it resonated with him because it resonated with me, man. You got to
right.
believe in something more than yourself.
That's true.
You got to find a higher power. I don't care what you call it. You can call it God. You can call it the universe, whatever it may be. You got to believe in something more than self. And then you got to take that and you have to surrender whatever it is that you hold on to.
Right.
It is, because honestly, in my situation, if I could have been changed it on my own, I would have been did it. And that's the thing people don't understand.
True.
If you could have been changed it, or you had the power to do that, or mm-hmm. the ability, you would have been done it. But sometimes it takes reaching out, releasing it, and saying, hey. It's taking releasing that and saying, hey, you know, hey, you got to take this one. And that's taking the burden off you, too, because then you saying, here, you take the wheel. Sometimes we get busy snatching the wheel. You know, we say, Jesus, take the wheel, or whatever it may be. We'll say, Jesus, take the wheel, or whatever it may be, and then guess what? You want to take it back. Oh, no, I didn't want to go right. No, I don't want to go right because it's uncomfortable.
Right.
That's an unknown road.
And, right.
But I promise you, if you begin to trust the process,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I always said I trust God, but I didn't trust his process. But I
right.
promise you, once you begin to trust his process, that'll make it a little bit more easier for mm-hmm. you to stand still, because he say, peace, be still.
Right.
And then he'll guide you. And then all of a sudden, stuff starts clicking and things start actually working out for you. And it's weird. It's not weird, but
it
you know,
is.
Sometimes you gotta, it's weird to you because it's uncommon.
Right.
So it's uncommon. So, but I promise you, the more and more you trust it, the more and more you trust this process, the more comfortable you begin to get with it, you know, and it's a powerful thing. It's
wow.
a powerful thing.
Wow. And he's a powerful God, you
mm-hmm.
know, and you're right. It's not comfortable giving up everything and say, okay, Lord, you take the wheel. Mm-hmm. You lead me and guide me and show me the way.
Very difficult.
Help me to be able to stand
mm-hmm.
or receive
mm-hmm.
the way you want to go. Your help in my life. Because we're always asking for help. But
mm-hmm.
then, like you say, when he gets started, we want, oh, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
We want to pull that back, right?
Yep. It's almost like, you know, let's say borrow money. Like right now, if I ask you for $20 and you just reaching in your purse to give me $20, I'd be like, oh, you won't go give it to me in the first place. You're like, wait, okay.
I wouldn't have reached for it, that's
yeah,
for sure.
You know, but sometimes as we do, we take the wheel back.
True.
You know?
That's so right. That's mm-hmm. so right. And we kill our own dreams, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. then we sit there and say, well, why did I do that?
Yep.
Why did I let that happen? Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Boy. Now, you said the cause of the lawlessness is no rules. Home of the free,
mm-hmm.
right? Land of the brave,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Here we are, United States.
Mm-hmm.
New decade.
Mm-hmm. People think we can do. When you just think you can do whatever you want, that's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
No, I'd be a fool to think I can have all my desires.
Yeah, I don't think I'd even want them all.
Nah.
You know?
But people think they can, you know?
Some things we ask for, we really don't want anyway. It's just greed and
mm-hmm.
seeing somebody else with it and
yep.
say, well, why can't I have that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, you can. And some people are not ready for it. And what you may be asking for might be the very thing that destroys you.
True.
So you got to be ready for certain things. Like had I got a substantial amount of money when I was younger.
So where would it be now, right?
Yeah, where would I be now?
Right.
You understand? Where
right.
would I be? You know, I could have been lost in the sauce or anything like that. So when
yes,
you pray for
yes.
these things that you want, like you said, it comes with a lot of responsibility. The more you have, the more you're responsible for.
That's true. So true. Wow, responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's running around doing what they want to do. But you're right. I would not want to be left in the hands of those who are out there doing what they want to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and because they're not abiding by any rules, just their
mm-hmm.
own as they go along. So that means there's no respect.
Mm-hmm.
for other people, no matter who you are, where you live, it just doesn't matter, you know, and that puts everyone in danger. It really does. Wow. Okay. Now, what do you think about the statues being brought down and being defaced? Do you think it's time for them to go, or do you think that we should still honor what some of those statues meant?
I'll be honest, I don't really care for statues. That's just me, and that could be any type of statue. For me, it comes with a form of worship. Okay, it's cool to remember, you know, remember things, have memorials and all that. I mean, I guess that's okay. But if it's if it has a negative light to it, or if you're not getting anything positive from it, I guess, I don't know, because it's so perspective-driven. You know, people can see a Robert E. Lee statue, and they can say that's a great hero, but, you know, somebody else from the other side can be like, yo, that man was a tyrant, you know? So I guess it comes down to perspective. So I don't know. I'm not going to cast judgment on whether a statue should stay or whether a statue should go. Honestly, I think a person, we need to fix ourselves and look in the mirror and take, this is one thing I learned, just observing people. I take things that I love about people,
right,
and I take that and I try to adopt that. You know, that person always smiling. I want to smile like that person. That's a beautiful thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then I see certain things about people that I have a distaste for or don't like. And I try to become more aware not to be like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, okay, we can have statues of everybody, but, you know, take the good and the bad and make yourself better. Make yourself better. Learn from them. Learn from others' mistakes. So I'll give you an example. If I'm walking across a bridge, and there's a hole in that bridge, and you see me fall, are you going to walk right behind me and fall?
Some people do.
Yeah, but I hope you would turn around and say, yo, the bridge is broken, you know. Call the ambulance to help Tim, you know. And hopefully you won't walk, you know, and fall right behind
me.
You know?
Right.
So I look at it like that.
So when you asked me that question, quite naturally I thought about the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how they do. Mm-hmm. You know, one will walk right to the cliff and fall off. Mm-hmm. And the same, all of them will follow that sheep. Mm-hmm. And that's why we needed a shepherd.
Yep.
Because we didn't have that much sense. So, like I said, I would hope to say,
yeah,
well, stop.
That's common. You should, yeah.
Stop, don't go any further. You know, you might fall off. So, wow. Some of the things that we do.
It doesn't make sense. Common sense.
No, it does not. It just
common
does
sense is not so common no more.
No, because we get lost in the whole hum and the drama of the day, and we get carried away by winds and doctrines of other people. And like you say, we may see something that we do admire in a person, would like to adopt into our own lives, you know. And sometimes we go about it the wrong way, you know, because we're still ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we can change.
Yep.
With God's help. We can't change for the better. And I think that's where a lot of us should be. Because right now things are still topsy-turvy. I don't watch the news that much anymore. I don't see much of the protests going on. Mm. Even though here it still is going on. And police brutality, fairness. And what do you think about fairness? Do you think we'll ever get fairness like we're trying to get?
I guess that still comes down to perspective of what you think is fair, what you don't think is fair. I think that comes down to the individual, you know. So I love the Bible because they give a lot of references of this. You remember I think it was the rich man, and he called people to work, let's say on a farm or whatever it may be. And the people that worked, they all got the same pay. So I could have been there for 8 hours, and then you came along, you only worked an hour, and you all got the same pay.
Right,
and then they was kind of upset, like, you know, how I've been here for a whole 8 hours to get the same pay as this person that been here for an hour. And I remember that principle, you know, he said it was fair. He said it was fair.
Right.
You know?
So, you did. They agreed.
It's perspective. Yeah, you agree to that pay.
Right.
You know, rather you sat there and you worked the whole 8 hours, or you sat there and you came late, or whatever it may be, and you worked the hour. How I know, let's take grades, right? Let's take a straight A student, right?
Okay.
Person that gets straight A students put in this much effort and this much work in order to get that A. But let's say we take a person that gets Fs or Ds, whatever, and they did this project and it took them this much effort.
Right.
So much more effort, and they get a C.
Right.
How do you really necessarily grade that? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, is that fair that that kid got a C? You know, when he put in this much effort, is that fair for that kid to get an A? He put in this much effort. How do you measure that? And so that's what I'm saying, fairness. How do you measure fairness?
I don't know.
It's tough. It's tough.
I don't know, because I was that student, yeah. You know, that worked so hard and still could maybe squeeze out a C or mm-hmm. maybe a B. And those A students, mm-hmm. they were always A's no mm-hmm. matter what they handed in, yeah. no matter what they were doing. But I did notice this. They always handed in their paper last. They always handed in their paper last. You know, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I went up too fast. I was trying to beat mm-hmm. them every time, you mm-hmm. know. But yeah, those straight A students, they always held their paper to the last. I mean, they kept going over it over and over and making sure that they had the answers right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of us are just in too much of a hurry.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, fairness, I guess, equals up to, are you satisfied at the end of the day? Are you satisfied with what's on that judgment scale? You know what I mean? Does that seem fair to you? You know, it's kind of like bargaining. Oh, I'll give you $300 for this.
It is.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, we're talking about the justice system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're also talking about maybe minorities getting not so much of a fair shake mm-hmm. on whatever they may be dealing with, but anymore, and maybe not just anymore, but always, crime is crime.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hurt somebody, you hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's still that person's responsibility, like you say, accountability for what you've done to hurt other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're accountable for that. So a lot of people say, well, we want to be treated fair. We want fairness. Well, that's Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
They want fairness, you mm-hmm. know, and judgment and the things that they feel that are important to mm-hmm. them.
They want to be satisfied
yeah.
in what they see. Rather, you know, because the justice system is still going to be there. But, they want to be satisfied. And let's say the judgment, a fair judgment, you know, is there a scale for all across the board of what, you know, a murderer should get? Is there a scale all across the board of, let's say, what a rapist should get? Is there a scale all across the board of, let's say, what a, I don't know who's calling my phone, it's crazy, what these people should get, you know?
Right, right. Mm-mm-mm. And I was wondering, okay. That's what you think they're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. They'll be satisfied. They want, in a sense, equal or just weight. A just weight. Now, that's different when you have a just weight on a scale.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's a just right. weight. That means it's even. It's just. And just, when we hear that word, justice, God, balance, weight, it's fair. It's fair right. to them. I'm satisfied with that weight.
Right.
You know, I'm satisfied with that weight. You try to make it as even as possible. You try to balance out that scale. Because we're talking about a justice scale.
Right.
So we try to balance out that scale to where it's as even as possible. So if it's 1,000 pounds on here, guess what? It could be right. 1,000 bricks, but it might take a lot more feathers on this side
than yeah.
1,000 pounds, but we're trying to get a just weight.
Right. Right. And you're right. And that's where we are. You know, everybody wants to be treated fairly. Mm-hmm. They want to be treated equal, yeah. no matter what they've done.
Nobody wants to feel cheated.
Yeah. Oh, no. Isn't that a terrible thing, you mm-hmm. know? Even when you're running a race
mm-hmm.
and somebody trip you, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And or just by a hair,
yeah.
another person wins and you're like, wow, I won. My nose hit that, you know, that line first. But that's a life sometime, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We have to take the good with the bad and justice with injustice.
Yeah.
Everything is not fair.
Right. Because honestly, like, would you know injustice if you never knew justice? Would you know justice if you never knew injustice? Would you know what a good day looked like if you never had bad days? You know, you got to have something to compare to.
True.
You know?
True. That's so good. That is really good. How would we know it was bad if we never had a bad day?
Never experienced it, right?
Whoa. Yeah. Experience in life. Absolutely. Experience in life. What do you think the new law? Now, people are out here doing and protesting because they want change. What do you think the new law or lawless, not lawless, but law is going to look like?
For
people as a whole, I mean, because right now the whole structure is being shaken. Our whole country is being shaken right now. by their opinions and their what they're wanting and asking for. And how would you speak to those people?
Well, I think, let me say this. With everything constantly being watched or recorded, because we got phones and all that other stuff, with that comes a great responsibility as well. So even in the sense of that, we're not getting away with anything. Or I think if we're more aware,
mm-hmm.
once you become aware, then you got to control. Then you have the control. If I'm not aware that I have an issue, if I'm not aware of these problems, or I'm not aware of this and the third, then I have no control at all. But I think once that awareness level begins to hit, then that only brings forth to me positive change. If I'm aware that I have an alcohol addiction or a problem to drinking, now I can, in a sense, control that. Not to say I'm not going to have the withdrawals. Not to say I got to go through the process.
Right.
But now I'm just saying I got more control. Now I have some more say. I can control the level of my drinking. You know,
right.
First I was drinking a whole two cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm drinking, I'm down to one a day. And now I'm down to half a glass a day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Half a glass a day, those
right.
type of things. So I don't know what the new law looked like, but I know what society looks like. And nowadays, because everything, we have social media and all these platforms, I think when people stop pretending and stop trying to be things that they're not,
right.
in a sense, and get more comfortable with self,
right.
And start trying to heal yourself, being healthy, heal thyself, right? I think it's only going to vibrate more healthy things as we become more conscious, because we are in the information age.
Right.
You know, we can figure out anything by Google, you know, Alexa and all those things. So ignorance is definitely not an excuse no more, right?
That's true. That's true. You can say, I didn't know, but that mm-hmm. doesn't clear you.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to know something. You're
mm-hmm.
supposed to be up on what's going on in mm-hmm. the world. Someone was saying to me, well, do you think it's the media hyping up everything? I said, we're all the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody's right got a cell phone,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Look,
your
we're on here live
company.
Now. I got, you know, I somehow got to get you in this picture.
Yeah.
But we're live.
Yep.
You got yours on,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I got mine on, so... We're the media.
Yep.
So how can you say you just can't blame it on TV anymore?
Because
just like when the George Floyd incident happened, people had
cameras and
clips that mm-hmm. we didn't, the media, the real media didn't even realize they had.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have it.
Yep.
So we just can't blame United
mm-hmm.
Press.
Because you can go figure the information out. You know, and there's
right.
a lot of false information, but that's up to you to sort out and discern.
Right.
You know, to me, if it don't make sense, it's a lie. And that's with anything. That's what I stand by.
Right.
If it doesn't make sense to me, something's off. It's either partial information, half truth is a lie to me.
It is.
Right? Because it's partial information, too. So I want the whole truth. And then if it makes sense and I could put 1 + 1 = 2, then
right.
that's math. You know? Okay. That sounds right. That's right.
That's so true. Wow. Because so much is going on so fast. And technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in the age of new technology and flying saucers and the aliens. And you know they got that show on called Aliens. Have
mm-hmm.
you seen that?
Is it the one on Discovery?
Yeah.
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 I used to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aliens, aliens, all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming back. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're coming. They're in the... our atmosphere, and they're trying to relate to us or be in contact with us. And
mm-hmm.
then you got these scientists that they have dug portals down in the earth and made
mm-hmm.
little canals or something for
mm-hmm.
them to come down. And what, my gosh.
Sound like a sci-fi movie. But a lot of stuff we watch, man, based on truth. And that's what I tell people. There's some truth in that. People aren't that creative to where they're just making stuff up. You know,
true.
It's based off of something. It's coming
yes.
from somewhere. There's a slight bit of truth in that. And it's up to you to dig it out and find it.
That's true.
You know, because they'll lead you. They'll lead you there.
I heard this one guy say, well, a chariot. Elijah went up on a chariot.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that chariot? Wasn't
mm-hmm.
that a flying saucer? And, you know, man's mind is trying.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The same, maybe not the same technique, but they're using God's word to find out what's going on in the universe. Because they've heard about the demons and
mm-hmm.
the devil, and
mm-hmm.
where are they at now? You know, so they want them to manifest.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you don't want what you ask for. You know what I mean? But there's going to be a command. You know, I believe in that Bible. You know, God going to command them to, you know, to hurt those without the seal of God in their forehead. And that's when people, they talk about the mark of beast. So you should be worried about, most importantly you should be worried about is getting that seal of God in your forehead. That's what you should be trying to figure out. I don't care about no mark. You know what I'm saying? So there's a mark of God. It's a seal on your frontlets. You need to find out what that is.
And
you
get
need to
that.
Put that in there. Because that's where your safety is.
You better believe it.
So.
Because if you take the other one, it's over.
Yeah, so that's according to what you believe, you know. So I'm not going to push my beliefs on nobody, but I'm going to tell you what I read and what I take in, you know. So.
Right. Well, according to the word, you take the mark of the beast, you out, bud.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
You out.
Now, what that mark is?
I don't know. I think it's probably your thoughts.
It is.
You know. What do you believe? You know, whether you believe like in God or the evil, or, and you know, what you spend your time on. You know, because it's all about belief. You know, what you believe. Do you believe? A lot of people.
I think a lot of people say they don't believe in God. Some people could say they don't believe in God. They believe in something.
Of course. Something.
We'll leave it there. You know?
Yeah,
I'm
gonna
leave that one there. You believe in something, but, you know. Not here nor there. I'm not going to judge.
Even
you.
If they believe in themselves or man, you know, you're looking to man to make a way for you and do for you, you know, and God said, don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in princes. You know what I'm saying? That means higher ups like presidents and things like that. You know, put your trust in me. So here we are with that.
Yeah.
You know, here we are with that. And you know, a lot of people are still expecting the government to make a way for them, and like they're going to man, treat me right. Promotion comes from God. Right?
Yeah, putting that work. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to depend on that. That's entirely up to you. You know what I mean? I always say this, you know, my presidents, don't get me wrong, I'm trying to watch how I word this, but in a sense, they never did nothing for me, in a sense of me saying my life still has to continue on, whether they have a personal impact on my life or whether it's a distant type of impact on my life or whatever the economy is going through. You know, I'm going to make sure I work, and I'm going to make sure I eat. I'm going to make sure my daughter eats. I'm going to make sure my son eats.
Right.
So I'm going to go out and find them. I'm going to go out and get it, but I depend on God. I'm not going to necessarily work. I'm not going to necessarily worry about the how. I got my reason of why, and you know, and that's all I need. I just need my why. Why am I doing this? Why am I moving forward? Why do I have to feed my daughter? Why do I have to feed my son? And I'm not going to worry about the how. I'm going to let God worry. I'm going to let God handle that. And he's going to guide me, and I'm going to let him guide me because I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm not going to just jump into something crazy because out of desperation. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes we can get ourselves in a pickle. Moving out of desperation. So.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I don't have time to wait. Like you said, we're anxious, you know, and we don't have time to wait. Mm-hmm. We're like, well, I'll do it myself, you know, because it's taking a little
come
bit
to those
too long.
Who wait. That's a cliche term, but it's a beautiful principle. Good things come from those who wait.
And it's that feeling like you were talking about earlier that maybe I'm being left out, you know, maybe I need to just do it myself because God's taking so long. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes we ask for things that maybe years down the road we still haven't seen, and we're still trying to, you know, trust and believe that he will bring these things to pass. And he promises that he will. But we as people are always, looks like you're doing pretty good, keeping yourself not so anxious.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you do that?
I try to get out the microwave syndrome. You know, I compare it like this. When you eat food, do you like food in the microwave or do you like food that's cooked on the stove? Which one you like better?
Stove.
10 times out of 10, people going to say stove.
Right.
Why? Okay, when you put it in the microwave, it's quick, it's done fast, it's rubbery. Yeah, it's just quick. But that food on the stove, it takes time to cook.
Yes.
It smells better, it looks better, it tastes better.
Right.
It's more satisfying. But it took time to cook. You understand?
Yes.
You could put it in the microwave.
Yes.
But why did you cook it on the stove? You know, and that's the thing. We appreciate it more. When things take a little bit more time, you appreciate it. When you know the effort and work you put in, you appreciate it a little bit more. I don't care if it's a corn dog. Corn dogs in a microwave sucks compared to corn dogs in the oven. You know, pizza pockets in the microwave stink compared to pizza pockets
in the oven.
You know what I mean?
It's
a better taste.
Wow.
It's crispy, those type of things. So that's how I compare it. Like, Tim, put in the work. You know, you're going to have to wait. Sometimes you got to wait for something good. I got to wait 15 minutes for a hot pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
in the oven. But microwave, 2 minutes. So what do you want? You want the crispy, nice hot pocket that took about, seven minutes compared to 2 minutes? What do you want? What's your quality of life like? Test that. You want your quality to be better? You got to wait for some things. You got to put in the work. You got to prep the meals and all that. Or if you want, do you want the 2 minute?
Right.
But don't get mad. Don't get mad about the taste. I can't complain if my hot pocket is rubbery and nasty and half warm and half cold. Put it in the microwave, kid.
Oh, wow. You're right. And I don't like food cooked in the microwave either. You know, hot as it is, I will turn on my oven, you know, put the fan on for later, you know, but I will turn on that oven in a minute, you know.
It's a different level of satisfaction.
Yeah, it is. And that's a good way of putting it. Your analogy is great.
Thank you.
And it reaches people who don't even consider that thought, the way you laid it out.
I try to break it down to where my daughter can understand, a six-year-old.
There you go.
I don't like pizza in the microwave. I do like it better in the oven.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What if Tubby's Pizza gave you microwave pizzas? You think he'll sell like he does?
No.
Absolutely not.
No. No, because people wouldn't want it.
No.
It'd be half wet on the bottom. Yeah. The bread would be, you know.
Yeah, it'd be soggy. It'd be awful. He wouldn't be in business very long.
No. And sometimes that bread get tough.
Yeah, that's why you don't see microwave pizza businesses.
Makes sense.
Don't work.
Makes sense.
Nobody wants it in reality. You might settle for it, but who's really going to pay $15 for a microwave pizza?
Right. So I just hope that, you know, people are listening and will be able to relate some of the things that you're talking about and sharing, because they make a difference in someone's life if they would pick up those tools and try to work on themselves and turn themselves around. You know, like you said, if you could have done that all by yourself, you would have done it a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that goes for all of us, I think. Yeah. Because have you ever heard a person say, if I knew then what I knew now, I wouldn't be
in this predicament, you know? But now the thing is, you know, knowing is half the battle. Now it's time to apply, because we can know, we can have knowledge, but if you don't apply it, there's no power in it, you know?
No.
So knowledge, people say knowledge is power, but it's not unless it's applied.
Right.
Unless it's applied.
As long as it's stuck up there in your head, you can't.
Mm-hmm. Can't do nothing with it. It's like burying your talents.
That's good. That's good, Tim. That's real good. Burying your talents. Mm-hmm. Like the guy you're talking about. That made me think about the talents in the Bible. Mm-hmm. When the master was leaving, and he said, I'm going to leave you five. I'm going to leave you two. I'm going to leave you one.
Mm-hmm.
And the one with five. Tell us that story.
You know, the one with five, he went out and he put in the work and he got back more. He got back, I think it was double, even the one with two. But the one with one just buried it. He wanted to hold on to it. You know, you think about it. He came back with a story. He said, you know, master, I didn't want to lose it. I want nothing to happen to it. So I buried it. He's like, you're an idiot. You at least could have put it in the bank and made money off of it. But you did absolutely nothing with it. So you didn't even gain from it. You buried it.
Wow.
So you had the knowledge. And it comes down, he didn't have no faith.
Okay.
Because he had the knowledge, whatever it was, whatever his talent was, he had the knowledge to flip that coin.
Right.
Whether he just doubled it and made one coin, he had the knowledge to do that. But he might, I don't know what's holding back, fear, you know what I mean? Self-doubt, all those negative things. He did the opposite of faith. He did the opposite of faith. Here, I gave you this, and I want you to do something with it. And then I'm going to come back in a year or whatever it may be, and I want to see what you did with it.
Right.
But you were so scared that you buried it. You were so scared to lose it that you buried it. I would much rather say, here, son, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to leave you. Do something with it. And I'd much rather say, Dad, you know what? I tried, and, man, I went the opposite direction, Dad. I done lost more than what I put in.
Right.
But you put in the work, and you gave the attempt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you tried in order to make it successful and make it work. That's the battle right there. That's the battle. Instead of, Dad, I was so afraid I didn't do nothing with it. Why'd I give it to you, son?
What's the point? To do something. Right.
I gave it to you to do something.
Right.
And you buried it. Oh. Shame on you.
Yeah. He wasn't very happy.
No. Cast him in outer darkness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a lonely spot.
Wow. What did he call him? I remember it was harsh. I've spoken on this before.
Yeah, like
unfaithful servant. I forget mm-hmm. what he says, mm-hmm. but it was harsh.
Yeah, unfaithful, whatever it may be. It was, he did the opposite. He wasn't faithful with what he had. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a good steward of what he had. He was scared. Lack of
fear.
Faith. Fear.
Yeah.
Doubt.
Right. That fear. And we're all dealing with a lot of that today, Tim. You know that.
Hmm?
Whether we're out there protesting mm-hmm. or sitting at home, worrying about the COVID, you know, or the civil unrest that's going on, what tomorrow going to hold, you know, we're all kind of fearful or intimidated or anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us.
Okay, fear and courage go, it's like a thin line. Which side are you trying to be on? Are you going to let it freeze you up in the time, or are you going to be that person like, not even thinking about it, like, I'm going. You know, like, I think it might have been you. You put in an article, some kids in Marion, Indiana, went into that house that was on fire and saved those people. Somebody did. Saved the elderly people.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Yeah. You know, those kids acted in courage. You don't think they had fear? We run into a burning house, but the thing is, it's a thin line. Which
right.
side are you going to be on? Are you gonna just go
mm-hmm.
and say and just do it? Or
right.
are you just going to say, yo, bro, that house on fire. Oh, yeah, I hear somebody. Let's look for help. And it might be too late. No, those kids acted. So it's a thin line between the two. And sometimes you just got to keep moving forward. You got to keep,
right.
even with the COVID thing, you know,
right.
we can't be stuck in the house. You know, I understand. But, yeah, take precaution. But
right.
but at the same time, it's not going to do nothing. It's going to drive you insane. It's
yeah,
going to drive you
true.
Insane.
That's true. Be a hermit, you know, mm-hmm. peeping out the windows, mm-hmm. not afraid to go out even on the porch.
That's being
casting.
That's be casting darkness right there. Like it's a heavy feeling.
It is. It
you're
is.
Trapped. You're
right.
scared. You don't want to move. That's frozen. A deer in headlights freezes.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's what fear is.
It
frozen.
Is.
Let's move forward, but you gotta be courageous to move.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Courage,
mm-hmm.
confidence.
I got to be courageous to move out the way of that truck.
Right.
I see. Oh, react. Go.
Right. Just don't
the
sit
way.
There and let it run you
yeah,
over, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are fearful, intimidated, don't want to go out. Then you have some, they're just out there.
Mm-hmm.
No mask, no anything,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And crazy. It's not that they disrespect them. It's just they don't have the same fear.
No,
you know.
They don't. No, they don't. No, they don't. And half the time, I forget mine. I'm like in the car, in my purse. And, you know, at first I was doing it faithfully. And then it's like, now I got to remember this thing, you
mm-hmm.
know, to have it on me wherever I go, when I go, if I go. Sometimes I like just forget it,
yeah.
you know, and just stay at home. But I know, I think it's in, I don't know if it's in Revelation. I know it's in the back. But he even says the fearful will not. Going to the kingdom.
Because it won't move. You're going to be hot or cold. I'm in the middle. I ain't moving. I'm stuck. You're stuck. Fear is the opposite of faith.
Yeah, it is.
It's the opposite of faith. Self-doubt. Cowardness. All that.
Oh, coward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're a coward. You're just operating. It's fear intensified.
Mm-hmm.
When you being a coward, it's fear intensified. Definitely don't want to move forward. It's about as worse as being a deer in the headlights and deciding not to move. I'm just going to let it hit me because I'm afraid to get out of the way.
I mean, it's not funny, even though it makes me want to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about a deer and mm-hmm. the headlights, and they're frozen,
mm-hmm.
right? And they won't move. And we do not want to be like a deer where we're just so afraid and paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Move, get stuck. Boom. Smack.
So even the people that are out there protesting, at least they're doing something.
Yeah, at least they're doing something.
They're
hopefully
doing
it's positive.
Something.
You know, that's the thing, positive. I like the peaceful protest, the positive protest, even the ones where you see the officers showing empathy and not having the right gear and a mask on and anything like that. The more peaceful it is, the more positive it is, I stand for that.
Right.
You know, I stand for that. But sometimes you gotta, sometimes people only respect violence too. And I hate to say that, but sometimes it's the only level of respect that people do tend to do. Because you can sit there and tell somebody, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to be peaceful, and then they keep pushing you, pushing you, pushing you, and then you hit them. Now they want to respect it. Now they're thinking twice, you know. It's give or take.
Well, those of you who have been listening to A Voice of a People today with Linda Sims and Tim Jones. I finally got you on, and we're not together, yeah. But yeah, he's on there. He's here real talking, and hopefully you were able to hear some of his remarks that he made. But thank you, Tim. We're out of time.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Always
fast, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But thank you for coming in, and I have you down for the first?
Yeah,
Monday.
So. Yep.
Yeah, first Monday of every month.
So y'all see me again.
Right, absolutely. Cool. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and my wife said something funny, and I laughed, and the laugh was, you know, which was pretty much my Bozo laugh, and my wife said, "You're not going to believe this, but three kids just stood on their chairs and started looking around."
I love it.
But no, the Bozo voice was right about here, and it was a lot more adenoidal than mine, and that was pretty much it. You know, of course, we had the standard "Hey, that's me," which I did as a more of a yell, war cry than a yell.
And the grand prize game. Oh, my goodness. How could we ever forget that?
Yeah. I would drive the my producer crazy sometimes. We always had to start with the same thing, which was, "Are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes?" And, of course, the audience would yell yes. And then I would have to go in with the same line. "Well, get ready, because it's now time to play Bozo's grand prize." Well, one day, I don't know, I was feeling devilish, and I went, "Are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes?" And the audience went, "Yeah!" And I went, "Well, what about me? What about my needs?"
To the original Doctor of Love, Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
This is an important point. Fall in love. What is Dr. Ruth's definition of love?
I don't have a real definition. Everybody has to work out their own. But I would say a part of it would be that you are glad when that person walks into the room where you are. That you have a kind of a fluttering